Proverbs chapter number one. Would you stand with me for the reading of God's word? Proverbs chapter and number one. Let's look at verse number one, if you would, with me tonight. Verse number one of Proverbs one. The Bible says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, equity, to suddenly live to simple, to the young man, knowledge, and discretion. A wise man will hear. But not only that, he will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation and the words of the wise and their dark sayings. This evening, I want to once again look at this passage of scripture. And over the next several weeks, really started this about 3 or 4 weeks ago now, and with missionaries in and different guest speakers, we're going to circle back around, and we're going to be looking at this series that tackles some sections of Proverbs that will help us in really gaining that wisdom that we desire. It's going to help us with things like words and anger and areas of relationships. And it is really an incredible passage of scripture that we have in the Word of God. And we're going to tackle a couple of these sections on Sunday evenings. And this series is going to be called Proverbs, Lessons in Wisdom from Solomon. Proverbs, Lessons in Wisdom from Solomon. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, meet with us tonight. Father, I believe you already have just the amazing spirit that is in this place. God, there's no doubt the Holy Spirit has free reign. And Father, we want to ask, Lord, that that would continue again tonight. Father, in our lives and in this very room, may we learn to once again breathe you in. Father, may we let our light shine. Father, may we be changed and different and more like you. Savior, we love you. In your son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. At times in culture, in the culture in which you and I live in, we have almost this misunderstanding that I believe a lot of time was misinterpreted from, well, the religion side of church and not as much the relationship part of church where we come in and draw closer to God. But there has become this foundation of misunderstanding that we have to know everything. That at some point in your life, in church, in your relationship with God, you get to this moment where you understand and you have it all. Now, hold on, tune in. You reach this apex of Christianity where, okay, I've been in the Word, I've been in church, I've gained, and so now I understand and I know it all. And there is a sense of, yes, we want to gain knowledge, and there is a sense of, hold on, listen now, there is a sense that we want to stand. In my life, Carrie and I often have these discussions that in my life as a pastor, in my life as a husband, in my life as a father, I want to stand on the things that God wants me to stand on. As often does that quote that says, choose your battles and pick your hills and which hill are you going to die on? And for me, I wanted to be gospel centered. I wanted to be majoring on the things that God majors on. And so therefore, yes, we are growing, but that we've come to this place almost where we have to think that, well, we have gained it all and knowledge is ours and, well, we're there and we're never going to move. But comprehend, knowledge, watch now, knowledge comes from following God, and knowledge comes from seeking out wisdom in His Word, and also from those that we have been blessed with in our lives. It was an apologist, Brother Toby England, who said this: if we are not able to change, we are never able to grow. Never stop growing. Comprehend. If we are not able to change, we are not able to grow. Never stop growing. That is what we have from one of the wisest men who have ever lived here in the book of Proverbs. Solomon begins to write, and his whole being, what he wants to get across, we can say in Proverbs, it was his hobby horse, was wisdom. He wanted to expel it. He wanted to understand it. He wanted to comprehend it. So this evening, I want us to look at, first of all, the training of Solomon. Number one, the training of Solomon. Look at verse number one of chapter one. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Remember now, the introduction tells us this. This book contains the Proverbs of Solomon. Now, Solomon is the author here of most of the Proverbs. There is a lot of debate that goes back and forth, and we do comprehend and understand that after Solomon's death, Hezekiah did ask other men to come together and to put this collection of Proverbs, but still, by and large, we comprehend that the human author of the book of Proverbs, this book on wisdom, is going to be Solomon. So if we look at the training of Solomon, we have to look into the background of Solomon here for just a moment. We know, first of all, that Solomon was learning from the best. Who was he learning from? Solomon was going to learn from his father. His dad is David. From his earliest days, Solomon could observe the living example of one of Israel's greatest kings in his father, David. David was a very godly king. David, no doubt, was a man that loved God. King David, Solomon's father, was a man after God's own heart. We understand that from Acts chapter number 13 and verse number 22. And in spite of all the sin that David was involved in, he was still a man after God's own heart. Well, how is that written? How can we understand that? How can Solomon learn from someone who, well, had an immoral affair and was a murderer and took power in his own hands and kind of played little g God and numbering the people, and yet he's still a man after God's own heart? Well, Solomon, by the time that he was born and the time that he began to learn from David, David had thoroughly repented of his sins. He had turned this episode of bad into good, and this good account we read over and over in the book of Psalms. What I love about this, I know I'm moving quick through this introduction, but we covered some of this about a month ago, but listen to this very carefully. What I love about this passage of scripture, especially with David, is that you and I are reminded, you ready for this? That no one is perfect. If you believe that, say amen tonight. Nobody's perfect. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous. There are none righteous. No, not one. Well, I'm telling you, I've been a pretty good person. Okay, we can all be pretty good people. I live a very holy life. Congratulations. I vote right. Good. I've been a good husband, good mom. Man, don't stop. But let me put it this way. You and I are not perfect. There has been only one person that has ever lived on this earth, and his name is Jesus Christ. But I love what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's what I love about the Word of God. It shows us that we all struggle. We all have down times. We are all, you ready for this? We are all sinners. And yet I am thankful tonight that my sin is covered under the blood of Jesus Christ. I am thankful for a God that remembers them no more. I love the Bible verse that says in Proverbs 24, verse number 16, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Solomon was having his training. Who is it from? Well, he's learning from the best. He's learning from his father, David, but he's also learning from Bathsheba. You see, Solomon could also observe his mother, Bathsheba, who in some ways really has a very sad story. She was a very wise woman who learned from life's hard lessons and came out better and not bitter. Turning life's lessons, watch now, into wisdom, Bathsheba taught her son. He grew up observing her. He grew up underneath her. He grew up comprehending, maybe one time, hearing the rumors and hearing the gossip around the palace. And he began to learn, well, man, if this really did take place and my mom really was in this circumstance and yet what my father did and then what happened. And my goodness, if all this is true, you know what he learned from his mom? wisdom poured from her. In fact, he wrote this. He said, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law, check it out, of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. Moms, let me put it this way. You have a vital role, in training the next generation for the Lord Jesus Christ. You play a vital part in those who are coming to you and those who are gaining wisdom. My goodness, there is an entire proverb that is devoted to you so that you can learn and you can grow and you can know how to walk for that next generation that is coming up and watching. I think oftentimes, and whether it's fair, I don't know, I'd say it's probably not, but I think, Brother Bert, as men, we get, Pastor Fitzgerald, you know what I'm saying. I think we get a lot, oh man, not everybody's going to agree with this, but it's okay. It's not Bible. I'm just going to say it though, because check it out. I think we get a lot of glory. Like I think we get as men, as fathers, like, oh, praise the Lord, what a godly father, what a great preacher, what a great leader, what a great, and I feel like at times, almost like, just put it this way, man, if it weren't for my mom, and if it were for my wife, I would not be the man that I am today. I praise the Lord for a godly, wise mom. I'm thankful for a mom that loved me and trained me. And I don't know, Brother Eric, I don't think we're supposed to say spanking anymore or discipline or whatever. We never got a timeout. Like, all those kids were spoiled, man. We didn't know such thing as a timeout. Like, timeout, you're getting a spanking, that's it. Okay, but I am thankful for a mom that brought me up, and I'm thankful for a mom that loved me. And I'm going to put it this way. Friend, being in ministry now for, I guess, 17 years, I am thankful for a godly wife in Carrie Shepherd. I'm going to cry, and I got an ugly face. I'm just going to move on. Care, woo, you know I love you, Carrie. You're so awesome, and you're the best. You're the best, Care. I love you, girl. I love you. Okay, so moms, parents, you play a vital role. You play a vital role. I read it several weeks ago, and I'm going to say it again. Bonnie Balcom said, our children are not falling away because the church is doing a poor job. Our children are falling away because we are asking the church to do what God required the family to accomplish. We play a vital role, no doubt, here at Cross Point Baptist Church and even in the Bible. But friend, let me put it this way. We can't blame the church for our kids. We've got to take responsibility. If you're a single parent here tonight, just do it earnestly. Man, have our kids in the Word of God. Anybody with me tonight? Amen. Make sure it's just not the school teacher. Make sure it's just not the youth leader or the junior church workers. Hold on. Make sure we as men and make sure we as moms and dads and grandparents, make sure we take the responsibility to lead our family in the Word of God. America's in rough shape, friend. Have you noticed that? Anybody notice that? I'm not talking about gas prices or meat prices or good grief, Clorox and bleach and the rest of it. Like, everything's sky high. I'm telling you, America is in rough shape because we have families that are no longer family units. And we don't have dads stepping up to the plates. And we don't have moms stepping up to the plates. And everything has taken precedence. And man, everything from education to ball games comes first. And we've prioritized God right out of the picture. And I'm telling you this, friend. If we want a wise generation, then you and I as leaders play a vital role in raising our kids to love God. Raising our kids, not as the public schools are, but raising our kids to understand that Genesis 1:1 is still in the Word of God. And it's not Big Bang. It is a big God that created heaven and the earth. And it's not male, female, and 15 other genders. There's only two, male and female. And he created them to get married and to go out and to fill this world. Friend, that is not the school's responsibility. It's not just the church's responsibility. It's our responsibility as parents to get back to the Bible. Solomon learned and he grew, but he also learned not just from David and Bathsheba, but also from Nathan. Nathan was his mentor, his benefactor, his friend. He's a spiritual leader. He's a very wise prophet, this man, Nathan. No doubt he encouraged Solomon to memorize all the early books of the Bible. You see, I want to pause right here for just a moment and say that our friends affect our lives. If I could ever talk to, maybe not college students here, you're young adults now, but our juniors and maybe even our seniors that are graduating, all the way through to all the Shepherd kids sitting up here and Miguel and Parker, all the way around the room, all the kids that are in here tonight, I want you to think about this for just a moment. Are you ready for this? Maybe even write this down. Not right now. Look at me for a moment, then write this down. Your friends matter. Now, your friends matter. They will either push you towards Christ or away from Christ. The friends in your life are going to make a vital impact on the man or the woman that you are going to be. You show me your friends right now, and I'll show you who you're going to be in the future. You understand and comprehend that over and over in the Word of God, the Bible states for us that it's vitally important to have the right type of men and ladies and friends in our life. The Bible says in Proverbs 18 and verse number 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse number 9, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Proverbs 27, 17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Paul said it like this in 1 Thessalonians, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even also as ye do. Proverbs 17 and verse number 17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. That means this, listen to me, teenager, you ought to choose the right kind of friends. Well, my parents did that. Okay, that's good and that's great, but you know, your parents are always going to be around. That means when the teacher walks out of the room, what kind of friend are you? When you're in the locker room, what kind of friend are you? Parents, buckle your seatbelts here for just a moment. I'm going to say this. Your parents can't always choose your friends. You at some point have to step up to the plate and be a leader in your own life. And allow the Holy Spirit that lives inside of your saved soul to begin to convict and push and lead and guide you. You have to make that choice. Well, I know, but mom and dad, okay. Well, I remember very specifically, my mom watches all services. She can testify to this. I remember being young, and my parents were kind of the parents that they were overbearing, but you know, they were, there's eight of us kids, okay? And we're all homeschooled, so they were very invested in our life. And I remember my mom talking and my dad talking about this one certain individual at church, and wasn't the greatest influence, okay? And always getting in trouble, throwing acorns and rocks and all these sort of things. And I was hanging out with them a lot. And finally, Josh, my parents said it. Look, Thomas, you can't, don't hang around this kid anymore. Yo, he is a bad influence on your life. How many parents or grandparents have ever said that to your kids? Would you raise your hand? Raise your hand. Okay, mom, dad, you're not the only ones. I just want you to know. There's some others in here that have said the same thing. True story, I went to hang around that friend whose parents happened to be a deacon at the church we went to. And he wanted to hang out. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, I can't hang out with you. My parents said you're a bad influence. Yeah, my parents got called into a meeting. And nonetheless, you know, we searched for about 10 more churches after that. But I am telling you, you have to at some point put it on yourself. Have someone in your life that is a mentor. A mentor. Now, this is going to be a little bit teachy, but I think this is what we need as a church this evening. A mentor is someone who you and I learn from. The wisest man who ever lived wrote often about iron sharpening iron and friends, and watch the wording here, influences on his life. They changed his life, and you and I can learn, and it can also change our life. A mentor, think about it for a moment. Mentors provide insight, information, and wisdom for your life and for my life. A godly mentor is one who will offer counsel. and give outside perspective for decisions. They bring a fresh perspective and will be a sounding board that you can bounce ideas off of. A mentor is someone in your life. Hold on. Here's where automatically went. Well, yes, what everybody needs is an older person in your life. Now, that's not necessarily always true. I love older mentors in my life, but a mentor can be the same age. A mentor can be younger. I'm the pastor here at Cross Point Baptist Church. And at my age, there are many that sit in this flock that I am the under shepherd of and feed spiritually every week that are much, some of it twice as old as I am. Comprehend? A mentor not necessarily is someone who has been around the block 1,000 times. A mentor is someone that you need in your life, again, to pray with, to bounce ideas off, to gain that, hey, well, what's taking place in culture nowadays, and perspective of not just, hold on, blinders on, and it's my way, no one else, and I don't want to see that because, and I don't want to have that perspective, and I've been stuck here. No, a mentor is someone that you can freely talk to, but rather than give their own wisdom, a godly mentor will continually bring us back to the Word of God so they can have God's perspective and wisdom on your life. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 14. Listen to this very carefully. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. A mentor is someone who is always pointing us back. No matter what the question is, it is always pointing us back to something that has never been wrong. Are you ready for this? The very Word of God. And a mentor in our life is someone who is continually pushing, pulling, leading, guiding. And what are they doing? It's not just perspective of, well, this is my way, and this is the way I've done it, and this is what I want. No, hold on. A mentor is someone who is going to constantly be pushing us back to, no matter what it is, whether it be politics, or whether it be an idea, or whether it be someone in our life that, hey, I just don't understand. Well, here's how we understand. Wisdom. Where do we get wisdom? We get it from the very Word of God. If this makes sense so far tonight, would you please say amen? Mentors. Now watch now. Mentors also promote spiritual growth through discipleship. Christian mentors encourage and continually point us toward Christ, causing our spirituality to grow even deeper in the Word of God. They refuse to let you settle or to coast. I remember there was one mentor that I had in my life, Pastor Wayne Holder, and I brought him up several times. And Carrie, I'm not sure the age of Pastor Holder at the time, maybe it was 75 or 76. When I was a young man and had just come into ministry and 26 years of age and voted in as a pastor of Bible Baptist Church in West Virginia. And I remember the amazing thing about Pastor Holder in my life, who was much older than I was by 50 years, was that he always would prod me with questions. I could have had the attitude, Brother Ted, well, I've been to college and I got my degree and graduated with a 4.0 and top of my class and married a girl who's been in ministry her whole life. Her grandfather is an evangelist. Her dad's a pastor. Three uncles pastor. Brothers are pastors. Like, man, I married the best and I got the best. I got my degree hanging on the wall. And I know you've been in ministry for some time, but let me tell you something, buddy. I understand 2010 better than any pastor out there. Okay. Now, hold on, time out. What I loved about him was he was always, Brother George, just prodding me with these questions, not trick questions, but Mel, he was wanting me to grow. He was asking me questions like, watch now, are you growing? How's your reading and studying God's word? We ask questions often, are you learning? Can I ask this? How's your prayer life? Well, how's it going in your relationship with God? And let's ask this question. How are the inward attitudes and motives changing more to be like, hold on, Jesus? Are you the same person you were a year ago? And if the answer is yes, we got some work to do. Are you growing? A mentor in our life pushes you and I. It pushes us towards Jesus. It hits those hard areas. But also, mentors preach hard truths. Watch it now, lovingly. You see, Christian mentors hold us accountable to godly living. They are willing to speak the truths we need to hear, not just what we want to listen to. Yes, understand, they may get in our faces at times, it feels like, but when it's done in love, with the desire to see us grow in our love and knowledge of Jesus Christ, then you and I are able to receive it. Solomon said it like this: faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Check it out. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. They are telling you and I, well, they're telling us the hard truth. And you and I in our lives, Brother Miller, we ought to have people in our lives that are able to push us. How are they pushing us? They're pushing you and I to be more like Christ. Well, is that always easy to listen to? No. Nobody likes to someone to question who we are or what we're doing. But to be honest with you, I'm just going to put it just very plainly tonight. We all in our lives need to have that Holy Spirit button pushed every once in a while so that you and I aren't sitting here comfortable in our little pharisaical ways of look at me and I'm so awesome and I'm godly and as long as we do it my way, then we're good. No. Sometimes you and I need to be pushed to be more like our Savior. You with me tonight? Say amen. God's called me to preach, friend. To be honest with you, Brother Brian, I can get up here and give a sugar stick every Sunday. Like, I can get up here and preach. And Brother Pastor Fitzgerald, like, I could get a ton of amens. And, man, I could preach our hobby horse. And, well, we're just this, we're just this. And, rah, rah, bis, boom, bah, that was awesome. Let's head out, and we're done. but you know what that's called? That's called a hireling. And I'm not a hireling. I will continue to preach the word of God. And what thus saith the Lord. Do we always like that? No, we don't like that. Probably, honestly, Kara will tell you, probably one of the hardest messages I always struggle with. George, this is honest truth. I sweat when I preach it. It's one of the hardest subjects. You know what that subject is? Hell. But Miller, it's hard to preach on hell. You know why? I like to preach on heaven. Woo, streets of gold, we're all going to be there. We're going to be singing no more Tylenol. You've heard it many times. No more Tylenol, no more pain, no more wheelchairs, no more hospice, no more hospitals, no more lawyers, no more preachers. We got the Lamb of God, man, everybody. Woo, yeah, let's go. Yeah, the trumpet's going to sound. We're all on board. And then it's like, but there's a hell. Oh, hell, we got to mention that. You know, the Bible actually talks more about hell than it does heaven. And do you know what Indianapolis needs? They need to know there's a loving God, but there's also a just God. And if they don't come to know that loving God, they'll face his justice. And that is an eternity in the lake of fire. Do I like it? Do I want to, well, yeah, let's bless God. Let's just preach on hellfire and brimstone. It's not fun. We live in a world everybody gets offended over everything. Let me tell you something, friend. We're not going to stop warning people in love that they need Jesus. They need him. And we grow mentors. They're able to preach in love, but mentors practice, watch out very carefully, they practice what they preach, and they help you and I do the same. I desire a mentor who is continually growing and learning and becoming more like Christ. Mentors aren't perfect, but they are maturing in their faith. They're maturing in their dependency. They're maturing in their surrender. They are maturing in their life with God. Friend, let me put it this way. Holy living can be difficult. It can be in the world that you and I live in. We sometimes go through seasons where temptations or trials are more intense. And having someone who has been there and done that can be an added benefit to help you and I keep our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and to run the race with endurance, as Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1 says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run, check it out, with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Comprehend, those mentors in our life, those people that we draw to, and those friends, and that influence, let me tell you something, friend. Every one of us need men and women like that in our lives. I'm thankful for the deacons that we have here at Cross Point Baptist Church. For all of our deacons that are here this evening, could you stand real quick? Just stand. And how about our deacons' wives too? Why don't you go ahead and stand? Just very quickly. Go ahead, guys. Surely there's some deacons here. Okay, there you are. Okay, good. We're waiting for somebody to stand. Deacons and deacons' wives, you stand for just a moment. So, and Brother Darren's back there. Let's see who's not here this evening. Okay, got it. Okay, got it. I'm thankful, deacons, and your deacons, deaconesses, whatever the deacon's wife is called. Okay, so I just want to tell you this evening. I mean this. I'm so thankful for you. Gentlemen, you are a massive blessing to this pastor. I've never come out... Some pastors would look at me as crazy. Do you know that probably, I don't know, Pastor Dan, how many, the last six or seven deacons meetings that we've had, maybe more, Brother Bert, than that. Maybe for the last year, we have had on Sunday night before the evening service. Most pastors say, I would never have a deacons meeting right before the church on Sunday. But you know what? There is such an incredible unity and spirit in our deacons meetings. We come in, and Brother Ted, do we not? We walk out, praise the Lord for what he's doing and what God's doing. And Brother Mark, we're looking at plans down the road. And man, we're praying about stepping out by faith, but also being good stewards. Gentlemen, I want to tell you, in your life, in my life, I'm thankful for you. I need men like you in my life. Ladies, we need you in this church to be that light and that guidance and that ray of hope. Cross Point Baptist Church, I don't think Pastor Foe is here this evening, but Pastor Foe will tell you, I mean, you talk about somebody who is truly just a massive blessing to this man. When I get together with Pastor Foe, Brother Sean, it is not, yeah, the days we used to have, and boy, I don't like the way that you changed. We painted the gray in here. I don't like the way you changed this. Do you know that Pastor Foe, every time I talk to him, he is, Pastor, I love what's going on here. Pastor, I'm so excited. Boy, big days are coming. Can I just tell you, that gets me a little bit hyped up. Like I had a little pep in my step, a little preach. Say, yeah, you're out of time tonight. Oh, be quiet, okay? You know what it does? It pushes the next generation that God is not dead. He is sitting on the throne. And friend, we got some work to do. Deacons, let me tell you, you're a blessing in my life. I'm thankful for you. Gentlemen, ladies, thank you so much. You may be seated. Mentors in our life are there that they've been around the block. They've been there. They've seen. They've done. And I just want to tell the next generation, the four Arrowwood girls that sang up here, I'm just telling you, I've probably prayed for Abby just about more than I have anyone in the last year. I mean, she is every week prayed for by hundreds in this auditorium. Amen. Do you not realize that those four standing up here tonight is just another push for you and I to keep going? Yeah. Yeah. Well, did you see what happened? Yeah, you know what? Honestly, turn off the news. I'm not saying I don't like people. Let me rephrase this. It gets frustrating when people constantly just bombard you with how bad and dark the world is. You know what we ought to open up to? Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. As much darkness is out there, dude, I'm telling you, Brother Palencia, put the choir back up here. Let's strike up the choir. Let's keep going. Let's keep singing. Let's keep praising. Anybody with me tonight? All the choir members are like, oh, please, no, my voice is gone. Okay, now watch. Here's what we do, and I'm going to be done. Now, I know it's a little bit teachy, but we got to learn. It's so funny how we will automatically excuse ourselves out of these things. And I've done it before. I know, have a mentor, have a friend. But, Pastor, you don't understand. I don't have any friends. So we're excused, huh? Well, you know, you have no friends, so you're done. Well, I've tried to have mentors in my life, they just don't give me the time of day. And I've tried to set up meetings, and I know that deacon was standing over there, but I tried to get with their wife, and they said that they had to take their dog to the groomer, and all of a sudden, like, wait, we take this, and we let the flesh get in. So let's address it for a minute. If we're going to have mentors in our life, then we must know how to, address, to find, to have friends or mentors like, Solomon had in his life. So how do we accomplish this? How do we find a spiritual mentor? Well, first of all, here's one way we can start, is to seek one-time opportunities. What we take out of this is, okay, yeah, bless God, I need a mentor. So here's what I'm going to do. Who was saying, oh, Joshua Gloria, run over there before anybody gets to him. Will you mentor me? I need mentorship. And I've had all kinds of problems. And it goes back to when I was about 2 years old. And when I was 2 years old, I was watching the Flintstones. And all of a sudden, I didn't like when they were barefoot. And it really affected me. And so I need a mentor twice a week, three times a week. You got it. Kim, you're a counselor. I need you so bad. I know you got 15 people on your plate right now, but you got to add me. Time out. Calm down and understand that it's not necessarily sitting down and this deep, long, four-hour discussion five times a week so that we can soak in mentorship. No, seek one-time opportunities. These mentoring opportunities usually comes in just a quick conversation. Rather than having an ongoing relationship, this is typically a time to ask specific questions to an individual. At one time or another, you're going to be able to sit down and you're going to be able to talk to them. And for every college student, young person in here tonight, if you have the opportunity, you may not, we got a lawyer in here, and you may not have the opportunity to sit down and, Brother Miller, I just want to ask you some questions tonight. And why aren't these chairs coming by? And I just want to get together. And so, Brother Miller, Miss Miller, I need help. And man, I need 6 hours of your time because I am just so messed up. Can I just be honest with you? The man is busy. Now, we chuckle, but we're all kind of busy. So you know what mentorship is? I have 5 minutes with a man who is passionate about changing the politics in Indiana. I get one opportunity. It might not be for 6 hours, 6 minutes, but if I have 60 seconds, think of a question. Brother Miller, as a 38-year-old, I'm passionate about seeing young men and women in politics. What is just one simple way that I can reach out to my kids or the kids at Cross Point Christian Academy and let them know we need them on school boards and we need them as senators and governors? And what is one simple thing I could do? You probably thought of 100 while I'm just talking to you. He tells me that's mentorship. Others who are getting married, soon to be married. Sarah's getting married. Sarah, find somebody. I was talking to Bob and Wilman. I always use them because they've been married for a long time. There's so many others. Find those in this room and reach out. Those of you, you're at the age and your parents are letting you have a boyfriend or girlfriend. Wow, I can't believe it. I'm so grown up. Okay, find somebody who's been married for a long time and sit down and just say, hey, I need some standards in my life. What are some things that can protect my purity? And just real quick, what are some boundaries that I should set up for my boyfriend or for my girlfriend? Can I just tell you something? There'd be plenty of men and women in this room that'd be like, oh, Let me just give it to you. You got a scroll? It starts with, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Amen. Okay. It's mentorship. It's just talking to. Almost every conversation that Carrie and I have with somebody and we sit down, I like to ask one question. How do you raise your kids? Carrie asks oftentimes with those who have already, they have now grandkids. Carrie's good at it. And she'll ask, if you could go back and change one thing in your parenting, what would it be? You see, mentorship comes not from, man, I gotta have a mentor in my life, and I need, David and Bathsheba, he was so blessed. And so no wonder he's the wisest man who ever lived. I didn't have the shepherd family. I didn't have a teacher. I didn't know. Time out. Before we just excuse ourselves, look for those one-time opportunities. But then I want to say this: seek resources. Perhaps the greatest way I have personally been mentored might not be necessarily on a one-on-one relationship or even conversations, but in my life through countless books and sermons and podcasts and articles and magazines and online courses and even one-on-one conversations has helped me grow and be the man that I am today. Friend, in your life, listen now, it says to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtly the simple and young man knowledge and discretion. Watch this now. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Hold on. This has to be all of us. Learn. Grow. Now I'm going to say this. And I know I'm over time, but you know what? I love preaching and I think y'all love hearing it. So what we often do is we'll come into church and we'll pick that one thing. We pick that one person. We pick that one thing pastor said, that one thing that irks us, and we let it destroy the wisdom and the understanding that God is trying to give us from his word. You know what that is called? It's called the flesh. And I'm afraid, Brother Burkett, oftentimes we let the flesh discourage us from growing and receiving what God wants us to receive. My encouragement this evening, family, is that every time we walk in those doors, we grow in the knowledge of God. Teenagers, college students, let me tell you something. An older generation here, if you're in your 60s, 70s, and 80s in here tonight, desire to grow. Get together with the younger person, not just with the idea of, well, Sonny, let me tell you how big. No, hold on. Get with the younger person and grow from them. The generation, Denny, that we live in is so different from your generation. You know what? I can grow from you, and you can grow from me. Iron sharpeneth iron. Never stop growing. Find a mentor. Find a little conversation. Pick somebody out tonight. Don't make it so obvious. Or like, I've been wanting to ask you this forever. Why do you do your hair like that? Okay, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about spiritual growing. Let's grow in the knowledge of God.